So, it's late. Do you see us? Yes. So let me, I'm sorry, we are starting the press briefing. We had, as you know, of course, a G7 finance ministers and central bank governors with the European Union. And I would say that it was an important meeting, taking into account the environment and the real economy environment and also the financial environment. As far as the global economy is concerned, as you might have seen in this agreed terms of reference, we were noting the challenges for growth, for fiscal deficits and for sovereign debt. We consider that it comes from the past accumulation of imbalances, which of course means that we have to avoid that in the future. Let me only say that this slowing down of the global economy was reflected, as you know, in our own assessment of the projections for the real economy of the euro area in particular, and we have revised down our own growth projection both for this year and for next year. The ranges have been displaced down, and on top of that, as I said yesterday, we have a balance of risk which is biased downward as regards growth. And it is the reflection of what is observed at a global level. Let me also say that as far as we are concerned, and it is reflected in this consensus of the G7, we are considering that it is of extreme importance that all the decisions that have been taken by governments and by the European institutions the 21st of July be implemented fully, completely, comprehensively, and rapidly. And we have noted also already, of course, as Central Bank, but it's been agreed by the G7 that it was very important that the reaffirmation of the inflexible determination of the individual sovereign countries in the euro area to honor fully their debt was reaffirmed, and I would say reaffirmed by not only the European, but also noted by the G7. I have to say that as regards the fiscal policy, you know also to which extent it is something which we consider important, but it's Oli who is responsible for the implementation of the fiscal framework. I will only say that from our standpoint, we said very, very clearly that it would certainly be an error not to take fully into account the national circumstances. Some countries have as an absolute priority to rebuild confidence, and it is the best way to foster growth, to have more confidence. It was also something that we had to say yesterday. There is an important point I want to mention, because there was a discussion on where do we stand as regards liquidity and banks, commercial banks' liquidity. So I explain in detail what the ECB is doing in this respect. I made the point that we have our standard measures, interest rate, you know that they are at 1.5%, and the non-standard measures. Amongst the non-standard measures, we have this remarkable concept of full allotment at fixed rate for the liquidity. And we supply liquidity at the moment I'm speaking for more than 500 billion euros. It's the order of magnitude. I mentioned that the value of the collateral, which is deposited with us in the collateral pool for the banks in the euro area, is more than 1.7 trillion euro. What we are supplying is more than 500, what we have in this collateral, which is deposited with us after haircuts, is 1.7 trillion euros. That gives an idea of what stands ready. The total amount of the value of eligible collateral, which is in the balance sheet of the European banks, is estimated to be of the order of magnitude of, it's an estimation, 4.5 trillion euros. And the total eligible collateral is higher, very significantly higher, but there I only concentrate on what is in the balance sheets of the commercial banks. So I think this is something which is not necessarily known, that again, we have a concept of supplying liquidity in full allotment without limit and at fixed rate. And I thought it was useful for the G7 to take fully a note of the volumes involved. Let me stop there. As you know, of course, we had addressed a number of other points, but I think that this is essential for the introduction.
Fine. I can take this, actually. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a rather familiar setting for me because this is the normal hour of having press conferences of the Eurogroup in Brussels. Actually, an early hour, so it is not a crisis situation because we are this early doing this press conference. I can say this G7 meeting has indeed taken place at a particularly critical juncture due to the evident slowdown in the global economy. Our focus is on coordinating policy actions to maintain financial stability, to restore confidence and support growth. In this context, the European economy is continuing its gradual and moderate recovery, although recently at a slower pace. Short-term indicators point to a further moderation of growth. And it is for these reasons that the need for a concerted effort at a global level in supporting of strong, sustainable and balanced growth is indeed essential, as the G7 underlines. In Europe, this means that it is essential that the EU member states will consistently continue fiscal consolidation, which is essential for reinforcing confidence into the European economy. For program countries like Greece, Portugal, Ireland, Latvia, Romania, this is self-evident. They have simply no choice and they have no room of maneuver. And as regards countries facing market pressures or having implementation gaps, it is essential that they meet their fiscal targets and they have no room of fiscal stimulus. They need to continue or even intensify fiscal consolidation for the sake of reinforcing confidence into their national economies. Meanwhile, countries that have a better fiscal space can let their automatic stabilizers work, which are clearly more important in Europe than, for instance, in the United States. In this context, I want to refer to the very important decisions taken by the Eurozone Summit on the 21st of July, which will contribute to the economic recovery and financial stability. By increasing the flexibility and effectiveness of the EFSF and ESM, we can we will be able to act earlier and more effectively to ensure financial stability, which is essential for sustainable growth and job creation. The euro area member states are in the process of approving these decisions following the good example of this country, France. And indeed, rapid implementation of these decisions is crucial for addressing the debt crisis and restoring confidence in our economies. Enfin, je voudrais conclure en français et je voudrais le faire sur le point qui est cher à la France et à la Commission européenne, c'est-à-dire la gouvernance économique. Un an s'est écoulé depuis que j'ai présenté pas moins de 6 propositions législatives pour renforcer la gouvernance économique en Europe. Aujourd'hui, grâce aussi aux propositions constructives de la France, à l'engagement du Parlement européen, je suis confiant que ce paquet sera bientôt approuvé. Ces nouvelles règles sont les bases d'une coordination et une intégration économique plus approfondie et efficace. Bien sûr, il faut que nous continuions le débat sur des améliorations de notre gouvernance économique dans la zone euro. Mais d'abord, il est nécessaire de conclure le travail législatif sur ce paquet qui est la pierre angulaire de réforme de l'avenir dans la zone euro. Merci.
Donc nous prenons les questions comme d'habitude en français ou en anglais.
Ça va? Ça va?
English to both of you gentlemen. Clearly, whether it's the EU, whether it's the ECB, there are a lot of efforts being made in restoring confidence in the Eurozone, in the Euro, etc. But clearly the markets are either no longer convinced of the political determination or the political possibilities, or no longer convinced the ECB alone can do it. What do you say to the market?
Well, I can start. It is true that we face a situation constantly in the European Union that the financial markets move with the speed of microseconds, while democratic politics in the European or democratic policymaking in the European Union moves with the speed of weeks or months, and this. Sometimes causes confusion among the financial markets or sometimes opens space for speculative attacks. Our task is to do our job as effectively and as quickly as possible, and that's why we have called on the member states to approve the decisions of July as soon as possible, and this process is now going on. In fact, this has been an inherent nature of the European Union during its history, that we take decisions by 17 or 27, 17 in the euro area, 27 in the European Union. And the European Union often evolves through crises in the economic field or financial field. It is a particular challenge. But as you have seen in the past, we are able to take the decisions to prove that we will do whatever it takes in order to safeguard financial stability in Europe and thus protect economic growth and job creation.
Let me say that we have a situation which is a global situation, and when I look at the overall behavior of the market, I see that there is really a multi-dimensional element. One is the global growth and the way the market perceive the evolution of the real economy in the various continents and at the global level. And there has been, from that standpoint, of course,
news that are accumulating and that are clearly demonstrating that there is an element of slowing down, which is which was not expected to that with that amplitude. You have, of course, the European issue, which is an important one. You have, of course, also on the other side of the Atlantic, a number of issues and problems, and to be frank, everywhere. So we are experiencing a period which calls for as much, I would say, anchoring of confidence as possible. It is what we try to do. And as said Oli, we consider, of course, that we are in an episode where all the decisions that have been taken have to be implemented in time, rapidly, expeditiously, comprehensively, and we are in this mode. Now, we, as far as we are concerned, we don't comment, of course, the evolution of markets on a day-to-day basis. First of all, Jürgen Stark is a very, very old and dear friend for me. Since 18 years, we have worked together. He has been in the German Ministry of Finance. He's been Staatssekretär. He's been Sherpa of the President of the Chancellor. He's been Vice President of the Bundesbank. And he's been a member of the board. You mentioned another resignation, which was not a member of the board. He was a president of the National Central Bank. I have to say that Jürgen took his decision for personal reasons. He made that public today. I have thanked him very, very profoundly, I have to say, dearly, for all what he's been doing. He has been totally dedicated for European unity. He's been totally dedicated during 5 years to the ECB, Governing Council, and Executive Board. And I have to say that I appreciate that he has decided, in any case, that he would continue to work in the ECB until his successor would be appointed. I have taken note of his decision, of his personal decision, for personal reasons, and I have to say that Jürgen Stark has always been totally loyal to his institution, and I have enormously, as all colleagues, appreciated that. Now, as you know, we are one fiercely independent institution. I have said that also yesterday. We take all our decisions in fierce independence. All our decisions are designed to deliver price stability. And to, for some of the measures we take, as an element of monetary policy, to help restore a better transmission of the monetary policy. And it is the case for this full allotment at fixed rate mode, which does not exist in the other central bank and which we consider necessary in the case of the ECB. We have also another non-standard measure that we have decided to help restore a better transmission of the monetary policy. Again, the treaty calls upon us to deliver price stability. We have delivered price stability. I'm not mentioning the future. I'm mentioning the track record. And the track record is indisputable, it seems to me. Our determination to preserve price stability is also indisputable. And our standard measures, the interest rate measures, are a proof of that. As I said yesterday, we took a number of decisions which were not recommended by executive branches wherever they were. And we will continue to do that with a great, great determination. We have a primary mandate. We delivered. We will continue to deliver. There is no doubt in when we extract all information which exists, in particularly in the financial market, on the future inflation, on the anchoring of inflation expectations, no doubt that we will deliver in line with our mandate, price stability, in the 5 and 10 years. And now we call upon all governments, all without exception, to be up to their responsibility in the very demanding circumstances that we are coping with. And on this call to governments, of course, we are side by side with the Commission.
Oui. Vous avez déjà répondu à cette question en anglais, mais est-ce que vous pourriez répondre à la même question, mais en français cette fois?
Vous auriez dû en prendre une courte, alors.
Non, mais c'était la question précédente. C'était en fait, qu'est-ce qui est de nature, finalement, à rassurer l'opinion publique dans ce qui s'est passé au cours du G7?
Et les marchés aussi.
Oui, mais j'ai dit précisément que, pour ce qui nous concerne à la Banque Centrale Européenne, nous ne commentons pas les évolutions de marché au jour le jour ou à la minute, nous sommes dans une période qui est une période complexe sur le plan international. Nous avons des défis nouveaux, comme le dit d'ailleurs très bien le communiqué, enfin les termes de référence du G7, des défis nouveaux qui sont nombreux et qui sont mondiaux et qui se situent en Europe, qui se situent de l'autre côté de l'Atlantique, qui se situent aussi du côté du Pacifique, si je puis dire. Et ces défis sont des défis très importants que nous devons tous relever ensemble. En ce qui concerne plus particulièrement l'Europe, nous sommes nous-mêmes, en tant qu'institution, la Banque Centrale Européenne, dans notre domaine de responsabilité, une ancre, un pilier de stabilité et de confiance dans une période où le plus important est évidemment de préserver et de renforcer la confiance. Donc nous sommes, je crois, en mesure de démontrer qu'on peut nous faire confiance pour préserver la stabilité des prix et, préservant la stabilité des prix, pour donner toutes ses chances à la croissance et à la création d'emplois dans un univers qui est particulièrement exigeant. Il ne faut pas nier la difficulté que nous avons à affronter. Nous prenons nous-mêmes, dans la limite de notre mandat, et pour des raisons de politique monétaire, nos responsabilités, et nous demandons aussi au gouvernement, à tous les gouvernements sans exception, de prendre toutes leurs responsabilités dans ces circonstances qui sont en effet des circonstances très exigeantes. Je ne commente jamais les évolutions de marché, comme je l'ai dit à la minute. J'ai dit combien j'étais proche de Jürgen Stark. C'est un ami cher, un ami très très cher de 18 ans. Nous avons travaillé ensemble dans des conditions tout à fait intimes, dans des positions diverses. Il a été dans des positions diverses, j'ai été moi-même dans des positions diverses, au service de l'Europe, au service de l'unité de l'Europe. Il a pris sa décision pour des raisons personnelles, dont je prends note et que je respecte évidemment. J'ai apprécié énormément qu'il reste lui-même dans sa position jusqu'au moment où il sera remplacé, ce qui devrait être la fin de l'année compte tenu du délai normal de remplacement. Encore une fois, c'est un ami cher, très cher. Il a rendu des services considérables à l'Europe et il a rendu évidemment des services considérables à la Banque Centrale Européenne pendant 5 ans. C'est une collaboration longue que nous avons eue ensemble. Il a toujours été loyal et d'une loyauté parfaite. Et ceci est très important aussi pour la Banque Centrale, pour moi-même.
Particulièrement permettez, est-ce que vous avez essayé de convaincre M. Stark de revenir sur sa décision?
Deuxième question, je ne la commenterai pas. Ça, c'est mon rapport personnel et amical et intime avec lui. Sur la première question, je dirais que nous avons évoqué la question des banques en général. Sur ce que pense le FMI, je crois qu'il faudrait que vous interrogiez le FMI lui-même. En ce qui concerne la position de la Banque Centrale Européenne, j'ai rappelé que nous avions toujours nous-mêmes, tous les mois, demandé aux banques européennes de renforcer leur bilan, de saisir toute occasion pour renforcer leur bilan, y compris en mettant de côté leurs profits et leurs dividendes pour renforcer leurs fonds propres, y compris en étant attentifs à leur rémunération et à leur paquet de rémunération, et aussi, naturellement, en ayant recours au marché. Et lorsque elles ne peuvent pas avoir recours au marché, en ayant recours aux gouvernements qui ont leur propre backstop, comme on dit. Tout ça, c'est ce que nous disons tous les mois. J'ai aussi mentionné que nous avions, pour ce qui concerne la liquidité des banques européennes, et je ne parlais évidemment là que des banques européennes, je crois que les autres messages, c'est des messages qui sont mondiaux, où chacune des banques centrales dans le monde a ce message pour ses propres établissements, mais pour ce qui concerne la liquidité, j'ai indiqué à quel point les banques européennes ont en effet, en termes d'accès à la liquidité en euros, des capacités énormes. Et donc, je crois que les membres du G7 ont été impressionnés de découvrir, parce que ce n'est pas nécessairement très connu, à quel point la combinaison du collatéral éligible et de notre mode d'octroi de liquidité en full allotment at fixed rate était susceptible de donner la liquidité de manière considérable. Nous n'avons pas abordé cette question. I don't know what Oli would say. As far as I'm concerned, I have absolutely no information on that, neither in Germany or in any other. You're better informed than I am.
We have no information on that, and there is no such plan in the European Union. In fact, related to your question and to the previous one, we had a discussion on the banks, as was referred to, and in the current context of strong moderation of global growth or even a slowdown, stabilization of the financial system is of essence, it is a necessary condition of maintaining the recovery and reviving growth. And this calls for two things in the immediate to short term, completing the financial sector repair, and in the short to medium term, concluding the financial regulatory reform on which we are working very actively, and my colleague Michel Barnier has made several very significant proposals which are currently in the legislative process. On the financial repair, the EU-wide stress tests which were conducted in the first half of this year and published in July, they have shown that European banks are clearly better capitalized today than they were a year ago. And they also helped to identify weaknesses in the financial sector. And as part of the stress test exercise, we required remedial plans and measures taken by banks and member states where they were cases of vulnerable or weak banks. And it's important to underline how these remedial plans work. The primacy is given to private sector solutions, that is to acquire funding from private investors. That's, let's say, the first best solution. But where or if this is not possible, banks and or member states concerned have been required to ensure either recapitalization and or restructuring. And these plans are now being implemented under the guidance of the European Banking Authority. And this is indeed a very important part of the financial sector repair. There are altogether 24 banks that are scrutinized in this sense, particularly by the EBA, as part of the stress tests exercise. As to the provision of liquidity, I only refer to what Jean-Claude Trichet said yesterday and today. We have always open ears to friendly advice and constructive advice. And I must say that we had a very substantive and relevant discussion today as regards the challenges of the Eurozone, as well as the challenges of the United States or other countries in G7, other parts of the global economy. That's the nature of G7 and that is its strength, because we can talk among friends, we can talk openly and on substance, and we can together look for solutions, common solutions for common problems. We really share the same concerns, and we are trying to find solutions that will help us to stabilize the financial system and maintain the economic recovery in the world economy.
Was the last question? No? The last one? La première question, je vais répondre qu'il y a un consensus que vous voyez retracé d'ailleurs dans ces termes de référence consiste pour le G7 à dire qu'il faut achever, il faut poursuivre les ajustements budgétaires tout en supportant l'activité économique. Et je crois que ce qui est très important, en mentionnant qu'il y a des différences de circonstances nationales, il me semble que cette idée selon laquelle, pour tous les pays, sans exception, le fait d'avoir un ajustement crédible qui vous permet d'inspirer confiance sur la soutenabilité de vos finances publiques dans une perspective de moyen terme est absolument fondamental comme un élément de confiance et donc un élément de renforcement de la croissance et de la création d'emplois. Et donc je crois qu'il y a un consensus qui me paraît clair et qui est retracé dans ce texte et qui reflète bien le débat que nous avons eu, en tout cas de mon point de vue de Banque Centrale. En ce qui concerne la question sur la Grèce, je dirais, il va de soi que les pays sont responsables d'eux-mêmes. C'est vrai de tous les pays, sans exception, ils sont tous responsables. Nous ne sommes pas dans une situation où nous pourrions considérer que certains pays sont sous une tutelle absolue. Tous sont responsables, en dernière analyse de leurs décisions. Tous, enfin en tout cas tous ceux qui ont des problèmes d'ajustement sérieux sont soit sous la surveillance de la Commission, qui est particulièrement rigoureuse, évidemment, pour des raisons évidentes, soit sous la surveillance du FMI et de la Commission, en période d'ajustement, nous sommes, je crois, tous, en tout cas pour ce qui concerne la Banque Centrale Européenne, qui est en liaison avec la Commission, absolument convaincus qu'ils doivent tous faire tout ce qui a été décidé et engagé, le plus rapidement possible, en étant, comme on dit en anglais, ahead of the curve, et pas behind the curve. C'est vrai pour tous, bien entendu pour la Grèce, et pour tous les autres, sans aucune exception. Et ceci, encore une fois, n'est pas le moins du monde contradictoire avec la croissance et la création d'emplois, parce que quand on est dans des circonstances où précisément on a vu la confiance s'évaporer, le fait de la regagner est un élément de croissance fondamental.
That's why the reform of economic governance is so important, because it will give the European Union, in this case the Commission and Council, stronger instruments of fiscal and economic surveillance, also including the possibility of using sanctions in case a country is deviating from prudent fiscal policy making. And this is essential because we need to be able to prevent in the future, preemptively prevent such kind of crisis we have faced in Greece, which has been essentially a fiscal crisis combined with statistical fraud, and to prevent such kind of macroeconomic imbalances accumulating, which had been at the origin of the crisis, for instance, in Ireland. That's why this reinforcement of economic governance is so important, and I'm confident that after some recent proposals by France and movements in the European Parliament, we should be able to see that there is a critical vote in the Parliament before the end of this month still. That's really going to be a major milestone in the history of the Economic and Monetary Union of Europe.
And we always have backed the Commission on that. We fought together in 2004 and 2005 when the big countries of Europe wanted to blow up the Stability and Growth Pact.
Fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.